Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got everything set to record that conversation that we just had, except for pressing the record button. So now the listeners know they didn't get to hear what I thought they got to hear.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Randy Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome!
Me.
Greg DeMarco Show. Greg DeMarco, Patrick Goodell. Patrick, we literally had everything set up perfectly. You were giving this great soliloquy about something on the internet, wrestling community, the news, and I didn't record it. So please do us a favor. Go back in time. Hop into your internet time machine, your Wayback Machine. Go back 5 or 6 minutes per se and just share with everybody your new proclivity. It's your big word of the day. Proclivity towards the that's bait gif when discussing wrestling on the Twitter.
That is definitely a nickel word, if not a dime word.
I think it's a proclivity might be a dime word.
It might be. I can give it a dime for that. So I've started a new game on social media. It's not even really a game. It makes me happy because I've started, and you called it a response to engagement farming. Basically, anytime I'm on either the Facebook, the Twitter, I don't see it as much on the gram. I don't do the TikTok because I'm in my 40s. And don't dance. So I'm not on that one. But this thing I see where folks stands, if you will, for either the WWE or AEW primarily. You don't see a lot of TNA folk getting out there posting stuff like this. Doing this comparison baiting thing to really just rile one fan base or the other up. Now, I said sometimes they'll use the illusion of objectivity, and it'll be this concept of like Bryan Danielson versus Chad Gable, just for Seth Rollins. We'll make it a main eventer. How's that? Seth Rollins, you know, pick one, and people will go back and forth, and whatever, that's kind of fine. But it's this recent trend I've seen of folks posting Bryan Danielson greater than Seth Rollins or vice versa.
And that's not even new. That's where they use three pictures, right? The person's picture, a picture of the greater than sign, and then the other person's picture. Yeah,
right.
That's
and then
nothing
they post that in like a forum or on their, maybe just in their feed or whatever. And the whole purpose for this, you dummies, is to get you pissy so that you yell at the dude for how stupid his opinion is. So I've decided, and it's not even really that creative. It's not new.
No.
But it occupies my time. I post a variation of the That's Bait GIF every time I see it, because that's all it is. It's bait. It wants you to have this visceral, angry reaction. And when you sit there and you call the dude a moron because he thinks that Seth Rollins is trash, or you think he thinks that Seth Rollins is trash, which, by the way, not true. It's all about you giving that troll what he wants. You don't need to do that.
It is on the Instagram too, but it's in the comments. So
yeah, it's a little less of a thing.
But it's become a thing. It's engagement farming is what it is. And much like, you know, all publicity is good publicity, et cetera. Like, social media algorithms don't care if it's good engagement farming or bad engagement farming. And these idiots know that. And these idiots are doing that. I don't know if I should even call them idiots, because they're winning in terms of engagement farming. They're coming out of hand.
It's a smart thing to do. It's a here's the thing. I say this about a lot of folks. People that we call stupid because they generate some sort of visceral reaction out of us, they're not stupid people. They really aren't.
They use their powers manipulative. For
evil. Yeah, they're manipulative people. They're not using their powers for good, for the purposes of good. Like, they could be using their ability to, you know, influence others in a way that is productive, as opposed to, I'm going to influence you to scream and yell at a computer screen keyboard it at me. Like, that's where I get stuck and where I get kind of annoyed, because it's just, they have a proclivity for honking you off irrationally when they could be doing so much more with the brains that they have. Because you do have to have a level of smart to manipulate. I firmly believe that.
Acknowledge me.
You absolutely do. And you know my opinion on stuff like this. Like, there's just some shit that's never going to change. And social media, you know, it's just so easy, because you're not going to get punched in the face sometimes. Like,
right.
Like 90% of what people say they would not say in person. Keyboard warriors, you name it. Wrestling is not alone in that category, but it's definitely heightened for us because of who we follow. And unfortunately, and this is not a knock on you, when it bothers you, they win. They win. They get a big W in some imaginary win-loss column that doesn't matter at all. And they got what they wanted, and it's stupid. But it's the only way they can win is by, the only way that they can ever lose is if we just ignore them. And unfortunately, if you ignore them and I ignore them, there are 100 people who will not ignore them. So as much as it sucks to say we can take an action that doesn't matter, because we want people to take action in life and in the world, and there's so many actions people can take that are great, what we do doesn't matter when it comes to these people. It just doesn't. And it's funny. Everything in life comes back to Greg being a wrestling promoter. Everything, literally everything. I have spent the last like 2.5 years, maybe 3 years, I don't know, being told by people I trust to stop worrying about the other idiots, the other promoters, the other promotions, because they will say things, they will tuck little comments in a social media post, they will do whatever. And I noticed one this evening that was like, you never said that until we started saying blank. And I just smiled. Like, it actually didn't bother me. But it's taken me 3 fucking years to get to that point. It's not as easy as some people make it seem to be the lion that doesn't care about opinions of sheep. And that example has been given to me time and time again. And it's just taken me a while to come to those realizations that people will manipulate anything online. People will manipulate anything that they can to make you feel like they're the Joneses you're trying to keep up with. And it's the moment you realize they're purely doing that because you're the Joneses that they're trying to keep up with. It's a very freeing thing. It's a very, it's a very great thing to see. But unfortunately, you know, people like these that are going to engagement farm, they're engagement farming, but it's really shooting fish in a barrel for these people on Twitter that you see, but for them, because Twitter is just, you know, and the thing, most people that go on there and they're arguing about stuff, they don't remember it 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, a couple hours later.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, for every one person who blocks somebody over an argument, there's 1,000 who won't ever do that. But it's I don't know why they get the satisfaction out of that. You know, I really don't get it. Like, what is your life that you're going to get so much satisfaction out of that? But they're going to continue to do it. And companies use it. WWE uses it. AEW uses it. Some use it well. Some use it against the internet. They just do it very well. And I'm glad that companies like WWE have figured out how to use it, because it ain't going nowhere. Might as well leverage it.
Yeah.
So might as well leverage
it. Case in point.
I know,
what's
right?
What's going on this evening as we record this podcast?
We will get there. Unless I'm missing something, which is always entirely possible. So, by the way, Greg DeMarco Show. Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd. Patrick O'Dowd on the Twitter, which he was talking about, the aforementioned Twitter, at Wrestling Realist. I'm just going to call it Twitter. I don't care. It's still, when I still go to it on my browser, it still says Twitter.com. Like, it's I don't even know why they changed the name. It's changing Twitter to X was just as dumb as launching Threads. Like it just doesn't matter. It really just doesn't matter. And the two are related. Like, Instagram launched Threads because they thought everyone was going to abandon Twitter, and everyone didn't abandon Twitter. So habits are hard to break. But you can follow Patrick O'Dowd on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. You can follow me at GregDeMarco44. Follow the website at ChairShot Media for all things sports entertainment. And sports entertainment is thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
So I want to get into a fun topic that is inspired by Twitter, but not the bad side of Twitter, the good side of Twitter, because you can DM people. And by the way, I got my first response to the proclivity question, and the person called it a dime word because it's long and it's complicated. So
fair enough. I did like the question.
Good. So Patrick O'Dowd forwarded me a tweet, and that tweet is, well, I think Patrick O'Dowd picked it, sent it to me. So I think Patrick should be the one to explain it and maybe even read it. I did not tell Patrick O'Dowd to open the tweet and have it ready. So Patrick O'Dowd, open the tweet and have it ready. And we can then discuss, because I do think it's worth discussing. And
sure.
And I think it'll be fun. So Patrick O'Dowd, take it away.
So this tweet comes from our good friend of the program, at Nav Treeks, old friend. Username is just Nav, N-A-V. And
I need to make a disclaimer right now. Everyone who knows me and knows the aforementioned wrestling business we talked about before knows I put on wrestling events with a gentleman who many people call Nav.
This is not
the same guy, brother.
No,
not the guy.
Not even a little bit.
Not even, especially when you hear it. If you even know an ounce about the Nav that I do this with, definitely not the same guy.
Yeah, not even a little bit. So this is a lengthy tweet because now that we're in the era of 250 characters, good Lord, people talk too much.
Well, and this guy's got a blue check mark, which means he pays for the ability to write longer tweets, which I've considered, because you can literally write a whole article in a tweet now. So he may not have been able to write this without the blue check mark.
Fair enough. So the tweet is such: Seth Rollins has been a top star since late 2014, and Cody Rhodes has now been a top star for 2 years in the WWE. Why is Seth just now main eventing WrestleMania in a, quote, tag match, all caps, when Cody Rhodes gets handed two main events in a row? Seth Rollins lost 3 times in a row on PLEs, but apparently was putting everyone, quote, everyone over when he's in the middle of his prime and is 2 years younger than Cody. Seth Rollins should be main eventing against Roman one-on-one when Seth has a way better story with Roman than Cody. Seth Rollins is also better at everything Cody Rhodes does. So why is there never outrage for Rollins? That next to last line, that's bait.
It is bait. It really is bait. I love that next to last line. I really do. Just for all the wrong reasons. That is definitely bait. I smiled so big when you sent this to me, Pastor Goodell, but I want you to explain why you felt as though this was a good thing to send, because it became a good thing to discuss, and I truly believe that.
Sure.
So why was this, outside of the content everyone just heard, because it's Twitter, six paragraphs that this actually is, even though they're all really short. Why did these inspire? You see thousands of tweets per day. Why did this one inspire? Let me click the share button and send this to Greg.
Because I felt it was a good, bad, quote, good, bad take. And then you actually responded, and I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Like, but I want you to stick to your original guns.
Right. So, you know, about the points that are being made within the tweet. And I responded with, it's the Cody part. So yes. Many people love the XYZ wrestler hasn't earned it kind of take. And in my opinion, that is what this dude is doing with this tweet, is that it's not so much the argument of what narratively could work as a story. It's very much this idea and this notion, and it's one that drives me crazy, is that if you don't want X, Y, and Z dude in the spot they're in, you will tear that person down in any and every way possible and set up an argument. It's the unearned argument. It's this idea that Cody swooped in and just kind of got whatever he wanted with no real, like, as if he had no credibility coming in, as if he was a nobody coming back to the WWE, just very much this concept that, like, for some reason, Cody doesn't deserve fans to be upset or outraged over him, and the whole, like, the most fun we've had in sort of tearing down fans in the whole finish the story narrative. Like, that's unearned. We should want Seth. We should be outraged over Seth, because Seth has been like this guy, this warrior for 20 years, or sorry, 10 years, sorry, this warrior for 10 years in the WWE, and he's never gotten a fair shake, Greg. Like, he's never had opportunities. He's just been, it's just unfair. He should not be treated this way. It's unfair that somebody like Cody Rhodes can come and swoop in. It's the same shit that I used to get pissy at CM Punk over, when he would bitch about dudes who in my opinion, have earned the right to be a big deal coming back to the company, even as a part-timer. Rock, just saying.
So, a couple things. Number one, I just perused this gentleman's Twitter feed.
And I didn't do that.
He does something very annoying. He tweets something, and then 2 hours later retweets his own tweet. Only two hours later. And it's like, we saw it. Okay. Like again, you want engagement. Again, he's engagement farming. And almost all of his tweets have the exact same number of views or people seeing them. And I guess it works. I don't know. He's got slightly more followers than I do, but not much, but who cares? I had a lot of thoughts about this, and I'm going to start at the beginning for me. This is a tweet about two people, about Seth Rollins and about Cody Rhodes, but for two very different reasons. This entire tweet is because this guy just wants Seth to be the guy. That's right. All. It's not Cody. It could have been anybody. It could have been anybody in that position. And Cody did, in fact, come back and jumped right in front of the line and jumped right to the front. And Cody has kind of embraced that face of the company role. He's that big baby face they didn't really have. I have been largely critical of Drew McIntyre when he tried to be the baby face of the company, because it didn't work. Drew wasn't the guy, brother, for that. We haven't had a true, and again, I'm using the phrase baby face of the company on purpose. It's the face of the company, but it's the baby face of the company, right? Because that's truly the face of the company has to be a baby face, but you've got to be that true baby face in the truest sense of the word. We haven't had a baby face of the company since John Cena. We really haven't.
Right.
Cody Rhodes is what John Cena was at this point. He's the one who cuts the fan service promo after every single event that he's on. He's the one who is going to be the best man in some dude's wedding because the guy put up a sign at a house show asking Cody to be the best man at his wedding. Cody was like, as long as they're in the week, he will do it. He is just that guy. And I'm going to be perfectly honest and possibly completely naive with what I'm about to say. I think that's who Cody really is. I really do. I think he's just that guy. Like, he grew up in a household with Dusty Rhodes as his dad, this person who was so beloved by so many people. He got to leave and people followed him endlessly, and he got to be part of creating this company that he never really fit in with. To the point where his presentation was just so much more professional and polished than anything else that they did. And that's fine. I like gritty. I love gritty. I try to do gritty. But Cody is, I just think this is who Cody really is. All those good things. Like, I just think he's that good of a dude. To the point where, and I've had people talk about how when Cody's heel run is going to be amazing. I don't know. I'm 50-50 if we ever get Cody's heel run. It could be that John Cena. You really could be that much John Cena to where it just doesn't. Because even in today's fickle nature of pro wrestling fans, it's nanas and kids, as the Mindless Wrestling Podcast would say. No matter what the old whites watching wrestling, turn on Cody, do whatever, nanas and kids are always going to love Cody. Yep. They just are. And I just cannot imagine a world without babyface Cody. We were all begging for Roman Reigns to turn heel, right? And he did. I just don't know that we're going to be begging for Cody to turn heel. And so I do think Cody's that dude. When we've all kind of said that Seth Rollins is a better heel than a face, and even as a babyface, he's kind of a heel. But Cody Rhodes truly is the babyface of the company. And this person just wants Seth Rollins to get his flowers, his due, his main event, solo spotlight and all of that. But taking away the motivation of the tweet makes a lot of good points. Seth Rollins really has been a top star for a decade now in WWE. Seth Rollins cashed in at WrestleMania 31, the cash-in that I called the moment he got the briefcase. Cody worked the opening match as Stardust on that same card. A 7-person ladder match for the WWE Championship, where I think he brought out the polka dot ladder. And of course, Zack Ryder won that match, lost title the very next day. Seth probably should have already had a WrestleMania main event. And if not for injury, would have main evented WrestleMania 32 against Roman Reigns. Instead, it was Triple H because Seth was hurt and wasn't there. Seth did build Cody. He did. He put him over 3 times in a row, including a Hell in a Cell match that Cody probably should have lost because he was going away for 6 months because of injury. But Seth still lost. And storyline-wise, Seth has the better history with Roman, and he's the one guy Roman can't beat. Because when they had their match of the Royal Rumble in 2022, Roman got DQ'd because he couldn't beat Seth, so he hit him with a chair right in front of the referee. The story is definitely there for Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns as a WrestleMania main event. And if not for Cody Rhodes, probably would be either the 39 or 40 main event. I said all along that Cody should be 41 and Seth should be 40 for Roman Reigns' opponents. Obviously, that's not what we're doing. This is where we are. And it's like it's going to be changed right now. But yeah, that second to last line, dude. Seth Rollins is also is better at everything Cody Rhodes does. And that's just simply not true. Seth Rollins is not a better babyface of the company.
No, he's really not.
And I love Seth Rollins. He's my favorite wrestler in WWE. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that I like better, but I don't think there is. But he's not a better babyface of the company than Cody Rhodes. I think he's a better wrestler. I enjoy his promos more. I enjoy his character more. But notice how I said, I enjoy. It's my opinion. I'm not stating it as a fact. But you're right. Like, that's bait. Seth Rollins is also better at everything Cody Rhodes does. And I haven't even looked to see the replies to this idiot's tweet.
He's got, 140 replies. Some of them are... Like
some of the people is
Cody never even won a world title. Cody literally tried to destroy WWE. No, he didn't.
He wanted to prove himself.
He smashed a chair, and you all fucking marked out like little bitches. Cody always taking it to Triple H.
Cody always knew he was coming back, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I also think Cody knew very early on that he just did not fit in AEW. And look at what they're doing now. He does not fit in AEW. He does fit in WWE. He's the baby face of the company for all the right reasons. Because he should be. He's that guy. And I just think it works. And that's why I don't think he's going to turn heel. Ever. But it's so funny.
Yeah, most of these are people like agreeing.
Yeah. And that's what people do. And that's because they cultivate their follower list. I want to show you and share with you... somebody asked me a question on Twitter the other day, so you got to give me a minute to go there and find it.
Okay.
Because it's something that someone asked me a question. Let me see if it's where the hell is it. I got it's really good, and I got to fucking find it.
All right.
Because it was all about why do I think? Well, I gotta. Apparently I tweeted a couple days ago, so I gotta just bear with me. Patrick O'Dowd, tell the people what happened in your basketball game today that you watched. Relive the
misery. I mean, I don't want to relive that. My team lost. They lost in heartbreaking fashion after having a lead for the majority of the game. Gave it up late. My beloved Fighting Illini loses by 6 to the Purdue Boilermakers. And now I have to listen to radio podcast talk about how great Purdue is and how Illinois is just a team that they're going to bow out in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Oh, that'll be painful too for you.
Yeah. There was a pretty dark period where my team wasn't in the conversation to show up at all.
Right.
At any postseason tournament. So, being a fan of a team that consistently wins 20 plus games and is perennially top 2 in the Big Ten, someday a tournament run will happen. That's what bites of the apple are for. Just you don't know. It's all matchups, baby. It's all matchups.
It is. It is all matchups. And if you can master those matchups, you can make a lot of money. Did I delete this for some reason? Did I get tired of seeing the replies? Okay.
Maybe.
Here it is. Here it is right here. I didn't think this was it when I found it. Okay. So I tweeted my prediction, right? Seth and Cody win on night 1, meaning no bloodline around the match for night 2. Perfect opportunity for Seth Rollins to turn on Cody Rhodes. I've been saying this for weeks. Now everybody else is saying it. So somebody replies to me, and I got it, and they did it like 3 days later. But why would Seth Rollins turn on Cody Rhodes? And then they put in parentheses, I want to see if your answer matches my thoughts. So they agree with me, but they wanted, so it wasn't bait. They literally just wanted to compare notes. And so here's what I said. There's a million reasons Rollins could cite after turning. So in my brain, I'm thinking of the night after Mania, Seth Rollins is cutting a promo. Cody's road to the top was built on Seth Rollins' back. This gentleman's tweet said that. Cody left Indy/AEW, and Rollins carried the load, only for Cody to come back and be on top. Cody left, injury, and Rollins carried the load, only for Cody to come back and be on top. Cody used Dusty to get ahead, and Seth loved Dusty. Look, Cody did. Okay? Cody did use Dusty.
Why are you giving me those eyes?
I'm giving it to everybody. I'm giving it, but you're the only one who can see.
They can't see you.
Right, but you can. We both did the same thing, by the way, when he said they can't see you. And Seth loved Dusty. Roman never beat Rollins, yet Cody gets a second shot before Seth does. Cody's story overshadowed Rollins' world title reign. And then I said there's more. Rollins built the modern WWE. Maybe that's a stretch, but still, he's part of the people who built it. And would never leave. Cody built AEW and turned his back on it. Cody didn't pick him for his WrestleMania 40 title match and accepted Rock's challenge, keeping Seth from his own WrestleMania spotlight. Because maybe Seth could have main evented night one, and now he can't, even though I don't know that match is going to be in the main event. But still, every time that Rollins could have ascended to the top, Cody's been in the way. Even when he was gone, he just came back and cut right back to the front of the line. There is so much ammunition for Seth Rollins to turn on Cody Rhodes, to where I've now built it up in my head that Seth looks like a punk ass bitch if he doesn't turn on Cody Rhodes. He just let all this happen and didn't do anything about it. Now, is that true? No, I don't know. And then the person replied, and it was a great little conversation. But Seth's been the company guy for over a decade, and he's always tossed aside for someone else's biggest moment. He won the Royal Rumble in 2019, and yet his title shot opened WrestleMania. Cody wins two Rumbles and both of his title shots main event WrestleMania. There's just so much ammunition there, and that's why I want Seth Rollins, and that's why I think that's what they're building towards, because they're telling a story. And again, it's the long game, right? It's chapter one. But going back to your tweet is just, this is all about the fact that their guy is not where they want their guy to be, or woman. It could be anybody. You could remove the name Seth Rollins and replace it with someone. Right now, it'd be very easy for someone to remove the name Seth Rollins and plop in Liv Morgan, and remove the name Cody Rhodes and plop in Becky Lynch. There are a lot of people who would rather see Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. Liv Morgan has got a ton of support, and WWE is using it.
Which, good for Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
By the way, like, good for Liv Morgan. I appreciate that. And when she gets her time, which it'll come.
Yeah, it's come before, and it'll come again. I agree.
It's gonna be a good deal for her. So. The number of people who have jumped on the "this is wrong" and Becky Lynch shouldn't be in this position train, they know Becky's losing, right?
I don't think they do. There's a lot of people who think that Becky is going to win this thing.
I mean, because I think Becky will lose, but that's me.
Because they think that we're building to the demise of the Judgment Day, because everything has to be a demise. It just does. Yes.
And we have been conditioned to view WrestleMania as the end of many things. Like, that is often how people view WrestleMania. They view it as this big culmination of, like, people don't want to admit it, but a lot of people kind of view the WWE season as beginning and ending with WrestleMania always. And that it's always, everything needs to kind of resolve itself on the upper card in particular. And then we soldier forward into the next year.
Right. And when really that does happen sometimes, but doesn't happen all the time. So,
right.
Yeah. Did you know that you can now schedule tweets on Twitter? I didn't know that. No,
maybe. I don't know.
Cause I've wanted that feature for a while and didn't have it. And now
just
I'm excited.
Want schedule tweets?
For other reasons, reasons that might involve promoting independent wrestling.
I mean, that makes sense.
Because I don't use Twitter nearly as much as we should. And I've been told that by people who are very good at the Twitter. And I need to do better.
So get yourself a social media director and that'll take care of it.
You know the budget of it. Actually, we are going to be having someone come in and start helping us with platforms we don't use, like TikTok and some more of the YouTube. We do have somebody who's the son of a really good social media person who works for national brands like the Super Bowl and the NBA. And I think maybe now AEW, and their son wants to get into social media marketing. And so he's kind of going to treat us as like an internship. So yeah, TMI, but that's where all that is. It's just so perfect that you sent that tweet, because it's very reminiscent of what you were talking about earlier with the bait and the engagement farming. And then the responses to that are hilarious, but it made some valid points. And that's why you said it before, like, people who do this are smart. They are smart and they know what they're doing. The best heels in wrestling tell the truth in a lot of ways. right? So the best people at doing this online make some really valid points. And I think when the points are actually valid, the people who disagree with you are going to be even more vehement in their disagreement.
Absolutely.
And then they just revel in that and they love it. So lots of good shit. Let's go to commercial and then we'll come back. And I've got some news to share with Patrick O'Dowd because you know we love the news. And because the news is lots of fun and will forever give us what we want. And as Dave Bautista once said, give me what I want. And today, that's wrestling news. So we will be right back on the other side of these commercials.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
By the way, it is the best kept secret in independent wrestling. I'm talking about Greg is a wrestling promoter. IZW returns Saturday night, May the 11th. Bullshooters, our new home. You do not want to miss it. Lots of great talent, including some debuting talent like Black Swan, Damian Drake, and others. Plus a whole lot more that I can't say because we haven't announced anything yet. But despite the fact that we haven't announced anything yet other than talent, front row tickets all gone already. Second row going as we speak. So grab your tickets now and come out and have another great time on Saturday, May 11th at IZW Wrestling AZ on your social media, IZWTix.com. Pick up your tickets and come join us for IZW Shot Through the Heart Saturday night, May 11th. Yes. My second event that I've named after a Bon Jovi song. November of 2022.
The little O'Dowd would really appreciate that.
Is he a Bon Jovi fan?
Oh, dude, have we not talked about this?
No, and now I think you need to have a paternity test because your son is a Bon Jovi fan.
He loves Bon Jovi.
That's a good fucking kid you got there. That's a good kid you got there.
Funny that you should bring up You Give Love a Bad Name. Because he was perhaps singing it while playing on his VR today.
Nice.
Just randomly. Like he
fist bump
was,
to know, the sun.
Of course.
Should be in bed now. Fist bump. I love it. I am just so excited.
Yes,
this is the second the Bon IZW event named after a Bon Jovi song, as we have Wanted Dinner Alive back in 2022. Still have more events. We still have more events named after Kiss than anything else. I mean, Monster, which happens every year, is a Kiss album. So and we've had other things, and
but it only counts once. It only counts as one.
It became an annual event. It wasn't even supposed to be an annual event. I never wanted to do a Royal Rumble style show every single year, but it was our first sellout. So it was our first sellout, and so they were like, "You got to do this every year now." And I was like, "I guess I do." And now it's like, because we only run 6 or so times a year, it's like our WrestleMania and Royal Rumble merged into one is Monster. So. But come on out and join us May 11th, IZW, Shot to the Heart. Get your tickets while you can. We did sell out of the last one. We'll sell out this one too. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But Patrick O'Dowd.
Acknowledge me.
That's just for space making. I did send myself this list of wrestling news. Cage Side Seats, which I've criticized before. For some of their headlines and some of their opinions. They also do a rumor roundup, which can be very convenient sometimes. And so they are not to blame for what I'm doing. This is just where I'm getting the rumors that we're going to talk about. You'll know who's to blame when I read it. So This is today, which, by the way, is Tuesday, March the 5th, Cinco de Marcho. I don't know. This is what I say that every year. Don't kill me. March 5th, 2024. So when you hear it, this news is 2 days old because they posted it at 1 a.m. in the morning so that you have it ready for when you wake up. Rumors for the day is what they call it. And I want to read to you the first two because they're very funny and very interesting. Number one, WWE views the fan revolt that led to The Rock's heel turn as a quote-unquote blessing in disguise, end quotes, per the Wrestling Observer newsletter. That's because officials at the company now believe Dwayne Johnson will probably do more with them after WrestleMania than he would have otherwise, quote-unquote, because he can get to Reigns later than just do that match. End quote. This has everything in it but the word pivot.
Yes.
Which I think I actually retweeted something very similar and just put in needs more pivot. Because, you know, it's like I complain about the word pivot, people stop using it, but nobody listens. Again, Patrick O'Dowd, the fans change the plans.
Yeah, and that's what this whole thing is predicated upon, right? Like, it's predicated on you being in camp, fans change things, a la Daniel Bryan, you know, as opposed to this being
Kofi Mania. We've been through all work.
And here's the thing is, there's some people out there that we respect as wrestling minds that are very much in the fans Absolutely. Changed the narrative camp. Eric Bischoff, we speak very highly of Eric Bischoff all the time. Eric Bischoff has repeatedly talked about the pivot since this all happened. And he has talked about how brilliantly the WWE has done
the pivot
with this pivot that they've been able to turn this into something that people are into, that they're intrigued by and interested with. And of course he's got the King Wrestling Fanboy Podcaster right there fanning that flame over and over. And that's B-O-I, not B-O-Y. He doesn't deserve to even be called a real boy. I don't know when it happened where I went from I really enjoy this dude to I can't stand him.
I think because he actually doesn't pay that much attention to the wrestling, and so some of it, he takes what Conrad says and then goes off on it. So I think he was just taking what Conrad said in terms of the pivot.
No. I'm talking about Conrad. I'm not talking about.
Oh, I thought you meant Bishop.
I still enjoy listening to, for the most part, listening to Conrad's takes on things. I do know when I stopped enjoying Conrad Thompson and his podcasting network, it was the way he fanned and leaned into JR. And would really let JR, like they did a repeat because, you know, JR is recovering and all this stuff. And it was about the first clash.
Mm.
And I forgot about those episodes. He doesn't do it as much now. But when JR was first really getting going with AEW, boy, Conrad loved to get him on an anti-WWE and I hate everything about this company sort of rant. Mm-hmm. There was just bitter bus all day. And I Conrad, bet. for his podcast, which I get, again, he's a smart dude. Not saying he's not a smart dude. He knows what'll get him people to pay, you know, get him attention for the folks to listen to his podcast and then, you know, go to his mortgage like debt company or whatever it is, save with Conrad, blah, blah, blah. He'll give you money that he then takes from you. Anyway, you've got to be smart to do that. And this is like, I'm going to go back to what we talked about with this first bullet, back to the fan revolt and the moment.
I thought we had forgotten about the first bullet point. So I'm glad you're bringing it back.
Because the WWE is smart too, kids. And, you know, and you don't want to admit it. You want to act like the WWE doesn't know what they're doing. You want to act like it is nothing more than a promo or two to quote unquote turn things around to have this level of complicated and ridiculous booking. Like, for these two nights that it was just done on the whim after an announcement on Raw.
Again, if this wasn't going to happen, Cody would not have won the Rumble.
Right.
Because this is what WWE does. They're not going to run the exact same main event 2 years in a row at WrestleMania and not have a new wrinkle involved.
Right.
They're just not going to do that. Like that's just not what they do. That's the whole reason they unified the titles to begin with. They had done Roman versus Brock so many times, they needed a new wrinkle for Roman versus Brock, and so they made it a title unification match. Which, by the way, is the whole reason these problems existed to begin with. If you didn't unify the titles, Cody would have already been world champion, the story would have been finished, and you wouldn't have to do all this stuff. But here we are.
Right.
But again, Meltzer knows his fan base. Again, these people that we claim are stupid are actually somewhat smart. He knows what he's talking about when he says this. It behooves him. Proclivity is still a better word than behooves. It behooves him to feed that narrative because that's who's paying their $12 a month for his drivel. So that's why he's got to do it. Second right. bullet point. This one's better. This one is so much better because these crazy things called facts just get in the way of this one. Like the first one, the first bullet point, we debunk with perceived facts. The second one right. are irrefutable facts because we all saw them on television. Bullet point number two. While discussing the 21-minute promo The Rock released online before SmackDown last Friday, Wrestling Observer Radio's Dave Meltzer said his WWE sources, this is so good, tell him Johnson can no longer get as much TV time as he wants, like he has in the past. Now, before you say anything, let's just do a little timeline, okay? Early in the day on Friday, The Rock posts a 15-minute promo on Instagram, takes it down, and reposts a 21-minute version on Instagram. Now, according to Dave Meltzer, that's because he can no longer get as much TV time as he wants in the past. Later that evening, The Bloodline and The Rock did the most talking. Second place was Paul Heyman. Third place was Roman Reigns. The Bloodline proceeds to have a 40-minute promo segment that pissed off so many internet fans because Naomi's match got cut down to 3 minutes and we didn't see her entrance because that's important. A 40-minute promo. But the 21-minute promo was put on Instagram because The Rock can't get as much TV time as he wants. Did he want more than 40 minutes to cut a promo? Like,
so here's the other piece. Did Dave actually listen to the 21-minute promo?
I have no idea. I didn't even listen to 20-minute promo because it's a 21-minute video on Instagram.
So 21-minute of promo. Do you know what kind of language was used on that 21-minute promo?
From the highlights that I've seen, definitely not things you could put on Fox.
So The Rock put something out on social media that you can't say on television. Things that you can. He was talking about, he ran the gamut of like everything. Best finish to that promo, by the way. Fuck your story. You can't do that on television. Instead, they told a different story. They told a different piece of the same story on television. With Roman being surly and needing The Rock to acknowledge him. And The Rock kind of, like, you just don't trust it. Different story. And like you said, and the question I was going to ask if you hadn't brought up was, does anybody really know how much airtime The Bloodline and The Rock got? Because he kind of got 20 minutes all on his own.
Yeah, it's he really did. Like he was the one who did the most talking in that promo. Like it's right. just hilarious. But again, the key was Meltzer literally said his WWE sources told him that. Now, if that's true, if he actually had sources within WWE telling him that, they made him look like a fucking idiot when The Rock went out and had a 40-minute promo later that day. Like, it's and obviously that didn't get cut off.
Plans change, brother.
So that's just insane. Like it's just absurd that this is a news item. By the way, this is what's so good about Roman Reigns. And I must sound like a fanboy. B-O-Y, B-O-I, however you want to put it. The Rock goes out there and cuts his promo. Roman cuts a promo. He complains that the fans aren't as loud as they used to be for him. Like, just such fan manipulation. I loved it. Then Paul Heyman cuts his promo and literally tells you The Rock will be coming out after this commercial break. Like, talk about making you stick around. The Rock comes out, right. Does his whole thing, starts the if you smell. Roman puts his hand on Rock's wrist. Rock looks at him and Roman just says, I need something from you. And I knew where he was going immediately just because I realized in that moment, I realized they haven't done this yet. And he made The Rock acknowledge him. And it was just so well done and so brilliant. And The Rock said he was doing it for family and all that. They're just setting up what's going to happen in the future. And that makes everyone think that The Rock is going to screw Roman at WrestleMania when I don't think that's what's going to happen. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. I think The Rock's going to get pinned in the tag match, either by Rollins, probably by Cody. Meaning that on night two, there can be no bloodline interference. And that's when Seth Rollins will screw over Cody Rhodes because they're telling a long-term story. Cody is still going to be the guy to beat Roman. That's spoiler alert. When it comes time to make our predictions, that's the prediction that we're going to make. I don't know that it's going to be a tag match either. I got my own thoughts there, but anyway, like this is just fucking like Meltzer. If someone really told him that, then he got so worked. He got so worked.
I actually personally don't believe that a source told him.
I agree with you.
Or if that source was a salty talent more than anything.
If a source told him this, then they're just feeding information out there. But I mean, I don't even think if a source told him this, and Bruce Pritchett has said that this has been done in the past. If a source told him this, they told him this purely to see if he would actually report it and say it. Because it's so stupid. It's literally contradicted by physical evidence that was on television.
Right.
So it's almost like them saying, I'm going to tell Meltzer this and see if he's smart enough to fish it out or if he's dumb enough to say it on air. And he was dumb enough to say it on air. If a source told him that, that would be the reason why. Because they wanted to make him look stupid and see if he was as stupid as they thought he was. And he proved to be. So, yeah, there you go. Bonus bullet point brought up by Patrick O'Dowd earlier before the show began. Last bullet point of the six that are on this. As of last week's NXT, there are no plans for William Regal to return to television, reports Fightful's Corey Brennan. This is important because Patrick O'Dowd, you saw that something happened on NXT tonight. What happened on NXT tonight?
William Regal appeared on NXT television tonight.
This was reported this morning. At least this article I'm reading from, which means it may have been reported on Monday.
Right.
So now, less than 48 hours after this is reported, William Regal shows up on television.
In fairness.
Right.
He came in and cut a promo to the Catch Club tag team, whatever that group is. Yes. You know who it is. I don't want
No Quarter Catch Club. No Quarter Catch Club.
He basically, because they're entering into some cup tournament thing, or they're in some cup tournament thing, I don't know.
Well, Charlie Dempsey has the Heritage Cup. And so maybe they're doing a tournament to determine the challenger for the Heritage Cup. They've done that before.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure what it was.
But I watch Regal NXT after we record, so I have no idea.
So Regal came out and talked about like the heritage behind the Heritage Cup and like do me. It was like a promo do me proud sort of thing. I'll be watching you. You know, they didn't announce him as like the new showrunner of NXT or anything like that. They didn't put him in any other role. So this could just be a one-off and that might be it. But it is ironic that I'm like, William Regal showed up on NXT today and you exploded before the show because you were so giddy about the fact that this was reported, you know, or the article was posted at 1 a.m. on Tuesday when we're recording, and literally the same day he's on television.
Could not have been any better timing for me. Who knows? Here's the thing, though. I bet the reaction to William Regal being on television will be great. Will be very positive. Yeah, and William Regal, to me, is the kind of guy you got to find places for on television because he still carries that much weight. Perfect as a general manager, but they're working with somebody else. And unless she does something different, then why would you remove her from that spot? Again, William Regal left AEW early, got out of his contract so he could come back and be with his son, who was the Heritage Cup champion, who he was talking about. And there is no better human being on the planet right now for wrestling fans to listen to explain the history behind the Heritage Cup. And this is perfect timing. Charlie Dempsey, his son, won the Heritage Cup last week on NXT. Because of metaphor, the Heritage Cup had been a championship that you were cheating to keep, that you were manipulating the rules to keep. Charlie Dempsey is an old, I think he's even held the Heritage Cup before, but I'm not 100% sure. Back when it was at NXT UK. He's going to run that thing straight. And so there's no better person to press the reset button on the Nintendo to make that happen than William Regal. So, because now it's going to be taken seriously again as a championship, which it was by the challengers, but not by the champion, because he would always cheat and hold that title. As NXT builds to Stand and Deliver, they are doing some fantastic storytelling between Roxanne Perez turning heel, finding a perfect way to vault Tony D'Angelo into the title picture and set up Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. Like they are, Stand and Deliver is going to be fantastic just based on the things that they're doing. So, do thoroughly enjoy that. So, yeah. So there we go. So that's the news. Thanks for stopping by for all you Anchorman fans. But we're going to go. Patrick?
Did I tell you I found the Patrick O'Dowd's Internet Wrestling Bullshit Report soundbite?
I didn't. Do you have it?
Not on this computer.
I mean, I have it, but I need to get, again, not on this computer. But that's fantastic.
I was rifling through an old laptop the other day, and it's like sitting right. It just says bullshit right there on it. I named it bullshit.
It's the whole thing with the opening about CM Punk has sneezed.
Oh, I'm out of the snow. Like, I may just be that part. I don't know that it has CM Punk has sneezed.
Because I put all that stuff. Because I think you sent me that part, and then I put the CM Punk part on the front, which you ripped off from our good friends.
Because I kept telling you about it. You were like, that sounds great.
And then we used it for a long time. And now I don't have it on this laptop. So let's do it. We're going to go to commercial break, and then we're going to figure out a way to sum this show up. So we will be right back.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes that we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes that we're out of here. We got 3 minutes that we're out.
You may not have an opinion on this, because I'm just dropping it out of nowhere, but it's an observation I made while watching Raw last night. Now, I watch Raw on delay. It's great. You can fast forward through all the commercials. It's pretty much how I watch wrestling in general. And actually, we're going to have two points in the three-minute warning. Liv Morgan showed up and interfered in the match between Becky Lynch and Nia Jax and got involved. And, of course, people are thinking, oh, my God, they're going to insert Liv Morgan into the match between Becky and Rhea. Or they're going to make it a four-way with Nia, blah, blah, blah. I don't think they are. If you look at the landscape of WWE right now, they have the ability to potentially run Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax as a match at WrestleMania. And over on SmackDown, they have the ability to potentially run Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton as a match at WrestleMania. Meaning you could have two women's singles matches at WrestleMania with stories behind them that are not for the championship, which is rarely done even in WWE. Plus, you've got the two title matches. Plus, you're going to do something with the women's tag team titles. So you could have five women's matches at WrestleMania, which is outstanding if they do it. Like, very outstanding if they do it. Considering AEW barely had one on their last pay-per-view. And it was the shortest match on the card. So, and between two really good wrestlers.
What about Naomi, Greg? But what about Naomi?
Again, The Rock's promo ran long. A 40-minute promo. And because it's been reported that Naomi's match with Tiffany Stratton was supposed to span a commercial break, and they cut 10 minutes right off of it because of the Bloodline's promo running long. So again, but and they only did
there,
that.
There was a producer somewhere who was very upset at the Bloodline for running long. But what are you going to do? You going to stop him?
I mean, according to Dave Meltzer, they don't have as much time to talk anymore. So, yeah, who knows?
It's true.
We could have five women's matches at WrestleMania. And, like, that would be outstanding. And definitely show up the quote-unquote competition from where we are. But then I realized that it would be stupid of us to not talk about fucking Sting retired on Sunday.
He did retire.
Sting retired. He went out on top, which I kind of thought he would, but I wasn't 100% sure. Because then Tony Khan can run a tournament, which he loves to do. And Sting and Darby Allin beat the Young Bucks, retained the AEW World Tag Team titles, which I got to see them win for free in Phoenix. And Dynamite's much better in person than it is on television, as any wrestling would be. But Sting, I mean, with our age that we are, like, Sting is literally a huge part of wrestling, our fandom, of us watching, of everything. And I don't want to sit here and talk for hours about Sting, but I mean, he's literally been there through like our entire course of watching wrestling.
True. And especially if you were a WCW Crockett guy, watching a lot of those more, I've always said this, I was a WWE guy through and through. And so I really, didn't watch Sting in the 80s very much until I went back in time. And, you know, for all the things that people complained about with the WWE Network, the opportunity
Patrick O'Dowd is frozen. Oh, now you're back. So you froze at the word opportunity. And now he can't hear me. So when Patrick O'Dowd is able to come back, because the droplet you heard was him saying shit. Now he logged off. So you may hear Skype kick back in and ring when Patrick tries to call back in. But I'm not going to stop the show. I am going to talk about Sting. Patrick, before he got cut off, mentioned Crockett. And when Crockett bought the UWF and kind of merged everything in with you know, Jim Crockett Promotions and their version of the NWA, we, of course, got the first ever Clash of Champions, which ran head-to-head against WrestleMania 4, I believe. And we got Sting versus Ric Flair, 45-minute time limit draw for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. And that match put Sting on the map. And I love that match still to this day. And I'm not a big fan of, like, Iron Man matches and super long matches, but I love that match. I wanted Sting to win as a little kid. It wasn't for another couple years that Sting finally won, but Sting was fantastic. Of course, he had his run in WWE. That's much maligned by many. Crow Sting will forever be many people's favorite. I love Crow Sting. I got a lot of respect. He helped transform the business because he was part of WCW's massive success that then led to, the Attitude Era kicking off and all of that. Patrick O'Dowd was texting me crap, so he may not be able to come back on. And if that happens, then that is what it is. But I loved... Oh, wait. That noise you hear is Patrick O'Dowd. Guess who's back?
Dude, I don't even know what happened.
It's all good. We're still recording. I did not stop recording. I was talking about Sting. I warned people that they might hear the Skype ringtone very loud in their ears. And they did. But what where we lost you was at the word opportunity. But I'll finish my thought and let you pick back up.
Sure.
I talked about Clash 1 and how much I loved Sting then, and you know, Crockett buying, because you brought up Crockett before he got cut off and all of that. And Crow Sting, and how he was a part of transforming the business. He was a part of WCW success that led to WWE having to bring in the Attitude Era. And he will, and Crow Sting will forever be most people's favorite Sting. I love Joker Sting from TNA. Joker Sting to me is my favorite Sting. And I'm pretty sure Sting himself has said in interviews, it was, I don't know if he said it's his favorite Sting. He definitely said it was the most fun he ever had being Sting, was as, yeah, as Joker Sting. Joker Sting was fantastic. I love Sting. This Sting, I made the joke during when I was at AEW Live, because he was wrestling in black pants and a long sleeve Sting t-shirt, that Sting has been wrestling in Sting pajamas. And he retired wrestling in Sting pajamas, but, and great, you know, he was a little kid who I don't even know if he was a little kid who wanted to wrestle, because I think he was one of the bodybuilders who got recruited into wrestling. I believe by Rick Bassman, but I could be wrong. I know he was obviously the Blade Runners with the Ultimate Warrior and all of that. But I love Joker Sting, but Sting will forever be a part of my fandom as wrestling, right? Clash 1 was in 1988. We were little kids and did not know nearly as much as we knew now. We've been through an entire life of not knowing anything, thinking we know lots of stuff, then realizing we don't, and now actually being somewhat enlightened to the business that is professional wrestling. A lot of people think immediately, within 48 hours, there are people saying, he's probably going to have another match. I don't think he does. I really don't. I think he's truly done. And good for him. And say what you want about his AEW run, and the fact that he went like 29-0 or 39-0 or something like that, and he and Darby never lost. And people were like, who'd he put over? Who really?
Darby?
Even Darby, right? Because who knows what's going to happen to Darby now? Seriously. Like Darby could be nothing in a year. That's how Tony Khan books, right? If I were them, Darby would beat Samoa Joe for the world title, turn around, lose it to Swerve, and then go on his little expedition that he's going on. Like, because if Darby were to win the world title, that's the end of that story, right? It's Homicide, it's Daniel Bryan, Danielson all over again. Like, you peak when you win the world title. Everyone's happy, but then what? I want to say Homicide, I mean the wrestler, not the crime. In Ring of Honor. I don't know why we have to say that today, because everyone listening to this should know who Homicide is. It's a wrestling podcast. But in this day and age, people are like, who'd he put over? You're on fucking national television. If Ricky Starks is a big star 5 years from now, like literally the biggest star in AEW, nobody's going to be like, well, fucking Sting beat him for like, why didn't Sting put him over? No, like, you're put over because you're wrestling. You're put over because you're in the big matches. Wins and losses don't really matter. So why does it matter if Sting didn't quote unquote put somebody over? Like, it takes years of effort to really make a win and loss matter. That's why it matters when someone beats Gunther. That's why it will matter when Cody Rhodes eventually beats Roman Reigns. That's why if Cody Rhodes pins The Rock during night one of WrestleMania, it'll matter because of the career The Rock has had. Like, Sting was an old man. Beating Sting does nothing at this point for anybody. And losing Sting doesn't hurt anybody, because Sting's kind of, even though The Undertaker is always this version of Sting has kind of been supernatural, because he's got like crazy old man strength and he's diving off of balconies. Right. And remember, Sting wanted to do all this stuff. And that's where I'm really going with this. You can criticize all the shit that Sting did in AEW. And I was there and was like 30 feet away from Sting diving off a balcony at the Phoenix Dynamite where he won the tag titles. And I was like, why the hell is a 60-year-old man diving off a balcony? You know what? Good on Sting for doing exactly what the hell he wanted to do, regardless of whether or not I like it and you like it, anybody else likes it. Who the hell are we to tell Sting what he can do and what he can't do? Good on Sting for going out seemingly the way in which he wanted to go out. That Sting deserves that. Sting gets full credit for that. Good on you, Sting, for going out in the way in which you did. I hope you're truly done, because you got a great send off. No, AEW cannot properly time their events, and that's why you got cut off. But they did release the rest of your promo. Whatever. Thank you for being a part of our childhood and a part of our wrestling fandom. And props to you for going out seemingly completely the way you wanted to.
All right, I'm going to try this again real quick.
Yes, try that again real quick.
Crow Sting got me back into pro wrestling. In many, many ways. Because I had stopped watching pro wrestling around, you know, my sophomore year of high school. Maybe a little bit earlier than that. And there were two things that brought me back. There was...
You just made the list!
Okay. Technical issues again. Patrick had some, then I had some. We are back. Back to recording you. The listener wouldn't have known if we didn't tell you. So Patrick was saying there were two things about Sting brought him back into wrestling. Patrick O'Dowd, take three.
Well, there were two things that brought me back to wrestling. Hulk Hogan is a bad guy, because when I left watching pro wrestling, Hulk Hogan was a good guy. So the curiosity of that brought me back at first. But then the first episode of Nitro I caught to see Hulk Hogan as a bad guy, there was a dude up in the rafters looking like the Crow. And I had heard of Sting. I knew who Sting was, but I only knew Surfer Sting. And that story of why Sting was in the rafters emulating the Crow character was enough for me to find a tape trading buddy that lived on the same floor as I did at Thomas Hall at Eastern Illinois University to be like, dude, can you bring me the footage that got me here? And through him, I got back into pro wrestling, because that story was enough to pull me back and keep me, and then became one of the reasons you watched Nitro every week, is because you didn't know how, where, or when, or even if he was gonna show up, but you didn't want, he was must see TV. He was fear of missing out. Like, you didn't want to miss him. And from there, I followed him. And I went back and watched him wrestle matches against the Great Muda. I watched him wrestle Rick Rude. I watched him wrestle Ric Flair. All those guys. Luger over and over and over again. By the way, great that Luger got to be there for that, by the way. Awesome. Awesome little side note. So, yeah, it was quite a legacy. And here was the thing that I was left wondering today. And Greg, I'll turn this over to you to answer as well. If Seth Rollins doesn't accidentally injure Sting, does Sting end his career in the WWE, or does the AEW thing still happen?
That's a really good question. I'm going to go with Sting ends his career in WWE. Because I'm going to go with they actually do the match that I don't think is as big of a deal as everybody makes it out to be. But the two guys probably wanted it. I think they finally do Sting versus Taker. And that's Sting's retirement match. And to me, Sting is the guy who, whenever he retired, whether it was against Taker in WWE or whether it was after a run in AEW and teaming with Darby Allin against the Young Bucks, Sting strikes me as the guy who will stay retired. He does. So if the Rollins injury doesn't happen, then I could totally see Sting having the match with The Undertaker at a WrestleMania and calling it a career after that. I could. And maybe he still shows up in AEW as a figurehead and doing some other and a mentor. And maybe he gets physically involved and maybe he even works a match. But retire. There have been retired UFC Hall of Famers that have then worked another fight. Like, I'm a believer that, like, Shawn Michaels wrestled a match or two after retirement. I still consider his last match that we saw to be his retirement match. Like, you could, if somebody retires from working at Home Depot and then a year later volunteers at a shift for some cool event at Home Depot, they're still retired. It's you know, you can still work and do something if that comes up and if there's the right opportunity to do so. But in my opinion, I do believe that The answer to your question is he would have retired in WWE. Nothing to go on. It's a big, huge what if, but I think so.
Yeah, it's a definition of a fun, speculative question. Like, if he doesn't take that buckle bomb and get hurt, what else did the WWE have in store? Because I think a lot of people forget that. Like, I think a lot of people forget that he was still there after WrestleMania when everybody was outraged that he lost to Triple H in their fake outrage over losing to Triple H. But Sting gets injured, and what do you do with the guy?
Exactly.
And that was kind of it. So just a fun little question, but yeah, easily one of the all-time great wrestlers ever. And yet another sort of bait sort of thing. I've seen a bunch of folks who like to run with the narrative of that they're right. Sting didn't necessarily need the WWE to be the Hall of Famer and the name wrestler that he was, but he was never the guy to act as if he was somehow wronged.
No, not in fact. I've criticized Sting for of all the people in the world. I think Sting, maybe now he does, but back then, I don't think Sting knew just how big Sting was at times. Like, I think he definitely has some insecurity because there was always Flair and then there was Hogan. Sting was never really let to be the guy. His two big peaks in wrestling came at times where you had a heel on top and the babyface was chasing. Like, he.
Well, and after one of those big wins, he got hurt.
Right.
Like he gets hurt like right after. It was devastating.
And there's talk, and Bruce Prichard talked about it as well, to bring him up again. When the Ultimate Warrior went to the WWF, there was a chance that could have been Sting. And there was a chance that WrestleMania 6, if all went the same way, it's Sting beating Hogan. And then maybe Sting is the babyface on top of WWF back then. And they don't have to pivot, there's that word again, back to Hogan the next year. And everything with Sergeant Slaughter. Like, maybe they actually could have run with Sting. Because I think Sting would have had a better run in that time period in the WWF than the Ultimate Warrior did. Because Sting seemingly had a better head on his shoulders and would have been... imagine Surfer Sting in his prime with the WWF machine behind him. Even back then, the WWF machine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he would have... And he got TV roles and he did movies or whatever. He would have been an even bigger star. And maybe we're talking about Sting as a potential Mount Rushmore guy. Because unfortunately, you can't put Sting on Mount Rushmore. There's only four spots. And right. You could put Sting in the top 10 all time if you want to. But had Sting had that run atop WWF when he was Surfer Sting, he might be going down as a top four Mount Rushmore all-time guy. He very well could be. And I'm not saying that to take anything away from the career Sting had. He is an absolute legend. He is one of the greatest of all time. He is an iconic. They call him the Icon, and people get, you know, glossed with certain nicknames or whatever. However he got that one, it's deserved. He deserves to be called the Icon. He is an iconic character. I know people talk about how he completely ripped off a lot of his characters, whatever. I don't care. I got enjoyment out of him. A lot of people did as well. And that's, you know, very few things are original in this world. Crow Sting was a ripoff. Joker Sting was a ripoff. Surfer Sting probably was too, somewhere in history. Who the hell knows? But completely enjoyed everything Sting for a really long time, going back to when we were little kids. So, yeah. I believe a good exclamation point on the career of Sting, regardless of how anybody feels about AEW, myself included. I think it went how he wanted to, and I can't find any fault in that whatsoever. So, and that will do it for this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. Follow Patrick Redoubt at Wrestling Realist, WrestlingRealist. Follow me at Greg DeMarco 44. Follow the website at ChairShot Media for thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And remember, based on today's show, wrestling news is still absolute bullshit. And when you're reading things that you're reading on social media, remember to always use your head. Because as Patrick Goodow told you, that's bait.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
Acknowledge me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.